much to all of you for having me here and giving me the opportunity to spend some day at TI. It's always great here, so thanks also to Alice and Federico for inviting me. So today I will tell you about this work about holographic entanglement entropy in ADS4-BCF3 that I've been doing with Domenico Seminara from Florence University and my student at CISA, Jacopo Sisti, which is based on these two work. And so this is just the first definition of entanglement entropy that you have seen many times. So if you start a quantum system and you assume that the Hilbert space is bipartite in this way, we will only consider spatial bipartitions. Then if you trace the degrees of freedom on one part of this Hilbert space, you define the so-called reduced density matrix, and then the von Neumann entropy associated to this reduced density matrix is the entanglement entropy. I'm sure you have seen many talks about this quantity, and the question I want to address today is what happens if you have a 2 plus 1 CFT with boundary like this, and you consider a region like this, A, with an arbitrary shape. If you have this situation, then it is well known that the entanglement entropy can be expanded as the UV cutoff goes to zero in this way, where the leading term is the area law, and this is the length, the perimeter, the length of the curve separating A and B. And if you want now we have a boundary of the CFT, so we have boundary conditions, so there is also the possibility that the region is adjacent to the boundary, like in this case. Now the entangling, this length that you have to put here is the length between the red curve that separates A from B. So it's not the perimeter of A, but the length of the so-called entangling curve which separates A and B. Actually, the question that I want to address is, can we say something about this sub-leading term that I call FA? Just from this expression, we can say that FA depends in a not trivial way from the boundary condition of your CFT and also on the shape of A. And the aim of this talk is to say something, to get some analytic result and also some numerical result about this term by employing the holographic prescription. So the outline is the following. In the first part of the talk, I will introduce this story of the Wilmore functional in ADS4 CFT3, so without the boundary. And then in the second part, I will apply this to the case where also a boundary occurs. Then I will consider also the case with corners. So, as you have seen in many talks, the main tool to study entanglement entropy in ADS-CFT is the famous Ryuta-Kainaji formula, which claims the following. If you have a region A in the boundary of your CFT, and then you want to compute at large n entanglement entropy, you have to construct the minimal area surface anchored to the boundary of the region A, and which extend in the bulk, and then you compute the area. Okay, so this is the area of the minimal surface, and then you have to introduce this normalizing factor, which relates the entanglement entropy to the area of the minimal surface. Of course, this is the divergent quantity, so you have to introduce a UV cutoff, and this gives you, and then you can expand in terms of the epsilon, which is the UV cutoff. We will focus on the four-dimensional bulk case. This is the metric of ADS4. And we will consider generic shapes for the region A. So the expansion, as I've said, of this area is there is this linear divergence, where this PA is the perimeter of this red curve. And then we are interested in this subleading term, FA. In CFT, this subleading term is very important because it plays the role of the central charge in 2 plus 1 dimension, and there is the famous F theorem related to this when A is a circle, okay? Instead, now we want to consider generic shapes here, and then some results have been obtained mainly by considering some perturbation around a disk, which is the or infinite strip, which are the cases that can be solved analytically. So first, before discussing the story of the Wilmore, I want to introduce the numerical tool that we use to study this problem. And this is based on a program called the Surface Evolver that is you can download online, it's free, and which is able to construct minimal surface for arbitrary shapes. It works like this. So take the simplest case, so the case of ADS4, and take a disk, so this is a circle. You want to construct the minimal surface attached to a disk. We know analytically that the result is an hemisphere, but we want to use Surface Evolver. In this case, what you do, you give to the code the disk, and then you give a trial triangulated surface like this, and then you give the background metric. Then you let the code evolve, and what it does, it approximates the minimal surface as you like by triangulated surfaces. And then it gives you the area, it gives you the normal vector and all the geometrical quantity that you want. Of course, this is the simplest case, but now that you have a tool, you can play with it and consider arbitrary shapes like this star-shaped region or this banana thing. And also you can study an interesting case to consider is the case of disjoint regions where you have more than one global solution, then you have to decide which is the minimal one. Okay, so that is for the numerical part, but for the analytic part of the problem, let me introduce the so-called Wilmore energy. The Wilmore energy is the following functional. So suppose that you are in R3 and you have a genus G Riemann surface, then this two-dimensional Riemann surface is embedded in R3 in some way, so there is an extrinsic curvature, which is this k tilde mu nu. You take the trace, you take the square, and then you integrate over the surface. This is the functional that has been been introduced by Wilmore in the 60s, and then it's been studied a lot by mathematicians. What it has something to do with our problem because what happens is that if you take this Ryuta-Kainaji surface embedded in a three-dimensional hyperbolic space, this is minimal. So the trace of the extrinsic curvature is zero because it's minimal. But actually, it turns out that Babic and Bobenko in the 90s found this a nice result that if you now take this surface and you embed it in R3, as it is, so you interpret this surface as a surface in R3 is not minimal anymore, right? Because it's not. You can compute the Wilmore energy of the surface in R3, and then it turns out that the subleading term FA for this case is precisely given by the Wilmore energy of the surface as embedded in R3. Explicitly is given by this expression where n tilde z is the z component of the normal vector to the surface. So you see that you can always take you can always double the surface because this is positive z, and I can see that you double it, and then this FA is 1/2 the Wilmore surface of this closed Riemann surface, which has a Z2 symmetry with respect to the Z equals zero plane. So I want to stress the fact that this is not the most generic surface in R3 because there is this Z2 symmetry, but also there is this feature that this curve along which you attach these two pieces is an umbilic line, which means that it's like a sphere. The two principal curvatures are the same along this line, so it's not like a cylinder. Okay, what can we say from this analytic result? Well, mathematicians study interesting inequality about this Wilmore functional. For instance, you can see that for any genus Riemann surface embedded in R3, the Wilmore function is always larger than 4 pi. And if you apply now this result, you can claim that the holographic entanglement entropy is maximized for a disk once you fix the perimeter. You fix the perimeter, then you play with the shape, you find that FA is always larger than 2 pi. Okay. Yes?
When you embedded the R3, is that an embedding uniquely determined by something? It's like isometric, or like how do you determine how to embed it?
Simply, this is if you take the H3 in the Poincaré metric, X, Y, Z, you take the same point in R3, same coordinate, trivial embedding, yeah. That's how it works.
Is there like a geometric way to characterize that, or?
Yeah, you assume, you take the metric, there is a Weyl factor in front, and then you remove the Weyl factor, you take the metric. This defines a new manifold, three-dimensional manifold, which is asymptotically flat.
Yeah.
And you take the same coordinate. That's the idea.
Okay, I was just asking if there's like any other choices that are.
I don't know.
Is there like an intrinsic way to fix embedding? That's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's that's the very end wavy. So then you can ask what happens if you have a non-singular perimeter, a non-singular curve like this. Then it is well known that beside the linear divergence, there is a logarithmic divergence, and the coefficient of the logarithmic divergence is determined by a so-called corner function. Basically, you have to sum over the vertices the value of this corner function evaluated on the opening angles of these three corners. So in the case of ADS4, this function f tilde has been evaluated analytically by Drucker, Gross, and Oguri while they were studying the holographic Wilson loop. And it has this expression here. It's written in a parametric form. It can be written analytically. It's not very nice, but at least it can be written in terms of these elliptic integrals. And we checked here that this expression can be recovered also from the Wilmore functional. Then numerically, we check this corner function by considering this the drop-like region. And then with surface evolver, we found that, okay, just to check the method as to do more complicated case. I want to stress here that this expression, this curve here, the most important and interesting part of this curve is given by this behavior, this asymptotic behavior, this quadratic fall-off. And the reason is that if you expand, that's true for any CFT, there is this this behavior, this quadratic fall-off as theta goes to pi. And this coefficient here is related to the two-point function of the stress tensor, as Rob and collaborator found in this way. So this coefficient is proportional, this coefficient of the corner function and the two-point function of the stress tensor are proportional. This is true in the CFT, three-dimensional CFT. So what we did here is to generalize this Wilmore functional to the case of asymptotically DS4 space-time. This I'll show only the case of static space-time. So basically, at t equal constant, you have a three-dimensional metric, which can be written like this, this Weyl factor. And then I call G tilde the asymptotically flat metric. Then by repeating the calculation, you find that that the subleading term FA can be written in this way. So it's a modified Wilmore functional in terms of this Weyl factor, which is 1 over Z squared, basically. And then so you have to integrate this functional over the Ryutaka-Anagi surface as embedded in the space-time defined by this G tilde here. Okay, and then you can easily see that if you put G tilde equal delta, you go back to the Wilmore energy. For instance, if you have a black hole, asymptotically DS4 black hole, this is the metric, this is the emblackening factor in terms of the mass and the charge of the black hole. Then you can pick the region that you like. Okay, and then this is the explicit expression of the functional in terms of the, of course, this integral is complicated to compute because you have to know exactly the surface, because you have to put the exact coordinate of the points, and also you have to know the normal vector. But at least it's a finite expression. And here I show you a check of this expression. So this is the case of a Schwarzschild ADS4 black hole, and when the domain is an ellipse of various eccentricities. So this is the case of a disk. Here there are a disk and two ellipses with different eccentricity, and this is the comparison between the Wilmore-like functional and the standard calculation that you get by taking the area and subtracting the leading part. This is for extremal black hole, and in the case of the disk, you can also use Mathematica to get the analytic solution, and everything works. So then, as I said, you can also consider this joint region, and in this case, you can construct this combination of entanglement entropies, which is called mutual information, where the UV divergence cancel, and you have a combination of finite term. And this is an example. So in this case, this is an example where we consider various some shapes. So this is for disk, and this curve are for squircle, which are modification of disk, basically. And here it happens that you have to decide which is the minimal surface between this connecting configuration, where the mutual information is positive, and the one made by two disjoint surfaces where the mutual information is zero. And then you see that this point here is where the transition happens. Then this case is interesting because if you look into mathematics, there are bounds on the Wilmore energy if you have genus one on the tori. For instance, there is a famous Wilmore, the so-called Wilmore conjecture, which has been stated by Wilmore in the 16th and has been proved by mathematicians only very recently, which claims that if you have tori, then the Wilmore energy is always bigger than 2 pi square. So you have better bound, of course, because you restrict on tori. And then there are analogs conjecture for higher genus Riemann surfaces. But the point is that here, in this context, you cannot apply this bound because of this condition of umbilicity of this line. Okay, so that was the story for the case without the boundary. But now, what happens if you have a CFT with a boundary? Okay, so now we have a BCFT3. We are going to use the setup introduced by Takai and Ajin some years ago, where basically the gravitational action in the bulk is given by the usual Einstein-Hilbertian plus this boundary term. So you assume that there is a brain attached to the boundary of your CFT, which is whose position is obtained by minimizing the action. So the equation of this brain depends on the kind of matter that you put on the brain. This is the extrinsic curvature of the brain. And in the simplest setup, where you put a constant here in the brain, one can solve analytically the problem. And basically, this brain is a plane with this slope, alpha. Okay? Now we have this alpha is kind of a dual of the boundary condition of the CFT, of the CFT3. It's a parameter that we have here. And now you can ask, okay, now suppose that you have a region A and you want to study the holographic entanglement entropy in this setup. As I said, the expansion of the area of the minimal surface is like this. And now your Ryu-Takanagi surface is attached to the red line here, but then it can end also on the brain, like in this case. And since we don't impose anything, we assume free boundary condition, that it turns out that the minimization procedure tells you that the Ryu-Takanagi surface ends orthogonally on the brain. Okay, so then the expansion of the area is this one, the leading term, and then the finite term, if you repeat the calculation, you find that it's given by the same expression that we had before, but now there is a boundary term. So this integral is evaluated on this green curve here, and this b is the b tilde is the vector which is orthogonal to the surface and here at the intersection. Okay, so in the simplest case, so this is a very generic expression which holds for any boundary and any background. If you in the simplest setup where you have a flat boundary here and ADS4, this becomes the Wilmore functional plus this boundary term. So, and then you see the dependence on the slope of this brain. So, of course, you can have intersection or not. If this region is far enough from the boundary, then there's no intersection and you get the usual term. Another case where this term is zero is when alpha is pi over 2. Alpha is pi over 2, then you see here the component of B, the Z component is zero, and then you get zero. But that's because it's the case that you obtain from ADS4 by cutting. But in general, you have this this parameter.
Sorry, what supersymmetric embedding? So if I think of your ADS4 as coming from ABJM, what type of D-brain do you have to get this boundary conformal field theory?
So you're asking what are the, if you are in a BJM, what is alpha?
The simplest sort of.
Yeah, I don't know. This is an open problem, how to relate this alpha to the.
No, I'm just asking even a, yeah, just even a simpler question. So can I wrap some D-brain? I just don't remember, right? Can I wrap a D-brain in ADS4 in such a way that I get a defect like that?
Yeah, you can put a BJM, or you put a boundary and then a consistent boundary condition. I don't know which are the boundaries.
What does it wrap on CP3?
No, CP3 is the compact space.
Yeah, but the D-brain has to wrap something, right? I'm just asking a simple
can be a BJM, can be, yeah. This is not sensible to, it's like, it's not sensible to the kind of gauge theory that you have in the boundary.
I guess I'm worried about, like, back reaction or something.
Right? The back reaction, I don't know, this is, sorry, yeah. No, this is as usually in holographic entanglement entropy. It's not that if you change, if you put the S5 cross S5 or you the Ryu-Takanagi formula is not sensible to at leading order, which is the case I'm working
on. Sure. I was just trying to see what's the natural supersymmetric setting that this is happening in.
Yeah, that's a BJM.
Yeah, but what's the defect in that?
I don't know. Yeah, sorry, it's my ignorance on that. But
you set up a system that was back reacting to, before you start talking about entanglement entropy, you had a system that was, I mean, you solved some complete set of equations to determine, for example, alpha, right?
No, that's alpha is a parameter here because it's related to the constant that you put on.
Right, so it comes out of.
Yeah, from the gravity, yeah.
So in some sense, I think the back reaction has been taken into account. You have an action there and you completely consistently solved it. Or maybe I'm misunderstanding the question.
No, here what you do, you minimize the action, you get Einstein, and then you put to zero the boundary term.
Yeah.
And then you solve the boundary. Yeah. Boundary condition, but the back reaction here. It's not. Yeah, sorry. Okay, so so this is the result, and again numerically you can play with surface evolver to in this case, and in this case this is the typical evolution that you see if you fix the red region here, and then you let you are free to move along the brain. The minimal surface is orthogonal to the brain here. Okay, then we use this code to study corner functions, like this case. These are two different corner functions, and also disjoint region which are disjoint from the boundary. So just to let's write some analytic result. So let's as a simplest example, one can take an infinite strip adjacent to the boundary, like in this case. This is very simple because the problem becomes one-dimensional, and you can solve this problem analytically. And the result is the following. Basically, the profile of this strip here can be determined, and this Z star is the position, the vertical position of the intersection here. And there is an interesting feature here due to the fact that there is a critical value of alpha, which is given by the zero of this expression here. And basically, below this critical value, the minimal surface is the vertical plane. Okay, you can see when g becomes negative, this is meaningless. And then if you compute the subleading term as this form, so so there is this critical value of alpha that would be nice to understand in CFT3. But here, that you find with this setup of the strip. Then another case that we study is the disk. It's a disk disjoint from the boundary. In this case, you can use conformal map to map this configuration into this, where the boundary becomes a disk, and then the region is a concentric disk concentric to the boundary. And this is the situation. If you work in this setup, typically you have, if you fix the circle here, you have three local solutions. One is the radial section of this configuration. One is the disconnected surface, and then there are two surfaces connected to the boundary, and you have to pick up the minimal one. Okay, this is the same thing if you have different values of alpha and different disk with the comparison with surface evolver. And then we solve analytically this problem. And again, the expression is of this kind. It's not very illuminating, but you can find things analytically. And the interesting thing is that if you take this limit where the disk goes close to the boundary, you see that the same kind of function that we found for the strip enters also in this case. So the same critical value of alpha can be seen also from this configuration. And again, so then one can consider the subleading term for different values of alpha. And then we have two ways to determine this value. One is numerical, by taking the area and subtracting the area law. And the other one is by using the Wilmore formula. And if you do that, you compare with analytics, you find that there is a perfect agreement. This point here, so this is for different values of alpha, and this intersection is when you have the transition between the Gross-Auguri transition between the connecting surface and the disconnected surface. You can also study these critical values in terms of alpha, and this is the curve that fan numerical is basically given by this intersection. As you can see, there is a critical value where the connected surface, the connecting and the disconnecting solution separated, but then there is another critical value which is determined by the existence of the connected solution. This is given by this point here that you can also plot in terms of alpha. This is the analytics. Then you can compute the area, and the area is given by this. So this is the area law, and then the subleading term is obtained by comparing the hemisphere with the connected solution, and this is the analytic expression. And again, you see that when you are at the critical value of alpha, you have this feature that the connected solution does not exist, and so you can go as close as you like to the boundary. The minimal surface will be always given by the disconnected solution. Of course, you can think to the same problem by using the mirror, if you want the mirror construction. Since the boundary is just an half plane, you can think that the same problem of finding this minimal surface can be phrased in R3 by constructing the shadow, if you want. What is the configuration of two disjoint disks which produces the same, not the same, but the minimal surface that can be cut at some point, and it gives you the right result. This is the case when you fix the disk and you move alpha. This is what happened to the shadow. And then this is if you fix the brain and then you move your disk far from the boundary. This is the map between the two parametrization. Okay, that was for the disk disjoint from the boundary, but since we have surface evolver, you can play with the shape of the region. And interestingly, you find the same kind of bound also in the presence of boundary. And then you can take, for instance, two ellipses like this. And then this case can be addressed only numerically. You can compute the subleading term for ellipses of various eccentricity and various values of alpha and find the critical value. So this problem can be addressed only numerically. Of course, there are two ways to do that. One, as I said, is subtracting the area law, and one is using this Wilmore function, Wilmore formula. Then the final result that I want to show you is this, what happens if you have a region with corners. As I said at the beginning, you can have regions which are adjacent to the boundary, and typically there are corners. So this is the case of an infinite wedge of opening angle gamma. So in this case, beside the linear divergence, that is a logarithmic divergence, and then the coefficient, the corner function, now depends also on the slope so depends on the opening angle and also on the slope of the brain. The simplest situation is when the incident angle here is pi over 2. This is the simplest case. You have an hemisphere, then you can cut it. In this case, you see that the logarithmic divergence, there is this simple dependence on the slope of the brain. But then with surface evolver, you can construct a shape like this. And here in this paper, we computed analytically this expression, this corner function, which has this form in parametric form. You can write f in terms of these parameters, and then gamma in terms of the parameter, and then this is not very illuminating, but this thing can be written in few lines. And this is the plot, which is more useful actually, of the corner function in terms of the opening angles gamma between 0 and pi over 2 for different values of alpha. Alpha is the slope of the brain. So you see, for alpha equal pi over 2, this is precisely the Drucker-Gross-Oguri corner function. But if you move alpha, you can have different curves. And in particular, for the critical value of alpha, you see this interesting behavior that you don't have a linear divergence anymore. So these are the analytic curve obtained by the formula that I've shown, and the points have been obtained with surface evolver with two different kinds of shapes. And the final comment I want to make is that it's interesting to study the limiting regime of this corner function when the opening angle goes to 0 or pi over 2. So as I said, for if you go to 0, there is this linear divergence only when alpha is larger than the critical values. And then even more interesting is what happens when gamma goes to pi over 2. There is this finite value, which is the one that you find for the disk. And then there is the subleading term, which is quadratic. And the observation I want to make is that if you consider the one-point function of the stress tensor, of the one point of the stress tensor when you're close to the boundary and the boundary is curved, Deutsch and Candela in the 70s study found this behavior in terms of the proper distance from the curve boundary, and this is the traceless part of the extrinsic curvature of the boundary. Okay, now if you compute holographically this coefficient in this setup, here we found that this guy here and here there are the same dependence on alpha, and if you take the ratio, they gives you this this number minus 2 pi. So it would be interesting to study this ratio for other BCF3 models. Okay, and finally, you can also consider different kind of corner function. That was when the corner is adjacent to the boundary. But now, more complicated corner function is given by this region when the you have only the vertex on the boundary. In this symmetric case, this gamma and gamma tilde are these two angles, and then there is omega is the opening angle of the corner. Of course, if omega is very small, then the minimal surface is the one which is not connected to the brain. But if it's omega is large enough, then you have this solution, and you have this transition in omega at some critical values of omega. And this is what happened for different values of alpha. So the critical value depends on alpha, and this is the what happens to the critical values in terms of alpha. So this symmetric this symmetry can be broken, and the most generic case is when gamma and gamma tilde are two independent variables. And then this add another independent variable to the problem, and the corner function now is given by this maximization. And again, you can now the critical configuration live on this surface in terms of gamma and omega, always larger than critical alpha. Okay, so this is the conclusion. Basically, I discussed some holographic entanglement calculation in this context of ADS4 BCFT3. And I show you that there is this analytic expression for FA in terms of the Wilmore functional. And then I discuss some analytic result for the corner function and in particular then some disk disjoint from the boundary. So some open problems related to this line of research is to find a BCF3 interpretation of this parameter. And then what happens in higher dimension? How can we use this analysis in the context of ADS DCFT, and maybe some better connection with results in mathematics about this part. Thank you for your attention.
Any questions?
Yeah.
So does this mapping where you rewrite the F term in terms of this modified Wilmore functional, is that only like defined for empty ADS, like pure ADS, or is there a similar thing you could do for, say, a generic asymptotic ADS space time?
Yeah, it's done for a generic asymptotically, yeah. Yeah, this formula is for a generic asymptotically. Yes, this GT, there is a tilde, is the so G mu nu is written. So everything is written in terms of this flat metric here.
I just would have thought there's significant ambiguity, like when, once you write it like that, determining what actual phi is, and also like a diffeo on G tilde, and you would somehow have to be able to fix the embedding using some other condition. So do you know, did you ever run into something where there was an ambiguity?
You mean
like if I did a diffeo on G tilde, it would essentially just change where the surface is in R3, and I would think that would change like trace K tilde, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, we didn't study this. Here is just we take this decomposition and then the coordinate of the point as just like that.
But it should be invariant on this if you want.
Yeah, it should, because here is shift phi and you change G tilde accordingly. Is that what you mean?
Well, yeah, I'm saying you could think of it as like if you had a generic ADS space, you might not have like a preferred set of coordinates that are obvious, and then that would show up when you did this mapping as, you know, different isometric embeddings. I was just wondering if there was an intrinsic way of fixing that ambiguity.
Is there really an ambiguity, or is the formula actually invariant? I mean, should be.
But like if that was somehow invariant, I guess that would be interesting. I mean, there's an analogous thing that happens with these math papers on quasi-local energy in GR, where they have to take a surface in a generic space and embed it in flat space. Mm-hmm. There's all a bunch of different ways they can do that, so they have to tell you how that embedding works.
Okay.
So the analogy.
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't. I haven't considered it. No, but it's. Yeah, it should be considered.
If I remember correctly, in BCFT3, there is some boundary different charge that can be defined like some binomials on the 2D boundary. Does it iterate to half, or does it iterate all in?
There are two boundary central charges. One is in front of the extrinsic curvature of the boundary and a trace of K, and the other on the Ricci scalar of the boundary. And one is related to. Oops. So if you expand, this is one of the two, and the other one, the other one, I'm not sure, but it's not obviously related to this term. It's related to. You have a displacement operator in the same story that Rob and collaborator developed in the case without boundary. You can repeat more or less also in this case. Yes, the one point function.
But then there is an interpretation of alpha, right? Because you just said that this cot alpha is the
This is in holography, but for instance, in BCFT, it's known that you typically you have discrete set of boundary conditions. So I think it's open how to relate this, to interpret this alpha in CFT, like in a BJM, for instance. I think here it's a free parameter.
Does this coefficient PAB in the leading divergence, does it correspond to a counter term on field theory side?
Sorry, which PAB?
This coefficient PAB, like the linear divergence.
Ah, yes, yeah. Yeah.
Does this correspond to a counter term?
No, it's the length of the... You mean...
Can you set it to zero by adding a counter term to the action?
No, I don't think so. The entanglement entropy is a UV divergent quantity by definition. So each term tells you something different. Yeah, so it's not that you remove the divergence and you get the same physical. Also the logarithmic divergence, you see, tells you some information, like. In 1 plus 1 CFT, the coefficient of the log gives the central charge, then the rest gives you other information about the spectrum.
So is there any hope of comparing that to an actual quantum model in two dimensions?
Some CFT in 2 plus
1. Yeah. These are predictions in principle that you could do.
Yeah, it would be nice to have some CFT calculation, but I don't know, because... I think it would be interesting in CFT to see whether there are some bounds on this F10 in terms of the shape also. But even without the boundary, but in CFT3,
So this term that has the cutoff, the epsilon, I guess the cutoff is non-universal in principle. So when you do all the numerics and everything, there's a natural way in which you know what the cutoff is and what the perimeter is. You separate these two things. There's no. It's not like the log term where
it's
kind of fixed forever. But if you have a term where epsilon is out, how do you separate the epsilon from the p?
It's true that
But you can see that it's proportional to the perimeter by changing the perimeter of the surface, keeping the same UV theory.
That's done in one particular regularization, and then if you shift or play with the cutoff, then you can find out.
Coefficient.
Yeah, or you construct this some mutual information like thing, and then then.
Any more questions? Then let's thank Eric again.
Thank you.